This is Dr. Benny Tate, and I would like to thank you for tuning in to this week's message at Rock Springs Church. Wherever you are, I hope that this message encourages you and helps you grow in your walk with God. Here's this week's message from Rock Springs Church.
How do you deal with anxiety and stress? How do we handle it? How do we handle it? Just out of curiosity, I wonder, in your lifetime, how many of you would say, Pastor Benny, I've had some anxiety and stress. Sure. How many of you it's seated right beside you? No, I'm just kidding. You know, when this came up about anxiety and stress, I knew the verses that I wanted to preach from. So take your Bible to Philippians chapter 4. We're going to stand to our feet. Every person taking your copy of God's Word, you're going to Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 through 8. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 through 8. This is what the Bible says to us. It says, be careful for nothing. Or what does that mean? It says, don't worry about anything. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known unto God. And then verse 7 says, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And then we get to verse 8, and Paul says, finally. I wonder sometimes if God's not looking down with us and saying, finally, finally. Finally, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Think on these things. I want to talk to you about how to deal with anxiety and stress. I started researching this subject this week, and I wanted to research how Americans, how people just like you and just like me, how Americans deal with their anxiety and stress. These were the top seven ways, top seven, I quote you, that Americans deal with stress. Number one, they listen to music. Number two, they exercise. Number three, they read. Number four, they spend time with family and friends. Number five, they spend 2 hours watching TV. Bad morning America and all that stuff. Number six, they take a nap. Number seven, they play video games or surf the internet. All that's wonderful, folks. But I believe God has a better plan for dealing with anxiety and stress in our lives. I looked up anxiety, and this is what it is. It's a feeling of worry. It's a nervousness or unease, typically about an imminent event or something with an uncertain future. It's that uncertain future. Some symptoms that worry and anxiety is controlling our lives is fear. Sometimes we have problems sleeping. We have cold or sweaty hands. We have shortness of breath. And we find we just can't be still. We just can't be still. Now, you know what's wonderful, folks? The Word of God addresses everything you need in life. Jesus is the answer for the world today. Above Him, there is no other. Jesus is the way. Everything you need, ladies and gentlemen, is found in Jesus Christ. The answer for every problem in your life is in this book. And Jesus knew that we were going to struggle in this arena, so He addressed it. He addressed some of the things that we're going to be anxious and worry about. You know, I was studying and I thought, I wonder what's the number one thing that people worry about. What's the number one stressor? What's the number one thing that they're anxious about? And you know what was interesting? It was the first thing that Jesus addressed. The number one thing that people just like you and me are worried about is finances. Finances. And Jesus knew that that would be our struggle. He knew that we would be controlled to a certain extent by finances. And this is what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6. He said, no man can serve two masters. For either he'll hate one and love the other, or else he'll hold to one and despise the other. You can't serve God and mammon. Now what I did, I researched, what is mammon? Because the New Testament was written in Greek. Here's the best translation, ladies and gentlemen, you can find. The best translation for mammon is stuff. Stuff. I'm just being transparent. God said this. He said, you can't worship me and worship your stuff. And we live in a world, folks, when we have so much stuff. And we worry about our stuff. And we worry about getting more stuff. And we buy things we don't need with money we don't have to impress people we don't like. Because we've got to keep up with the Joneses. The only problem when we catch the Joneses, they refinance. Amen? Because we've got to get our stuff. Your children, my children, make up 3% of the world's population of children. But we own 40% of the world's toys. We got to have our stuff. So we got to have bigger houses so we can get more stuff. And we worry about our stuff. And Jesus said, the number one thing you're going to worry about is finances. You said, well, the economy's good or the economy's bad. I guess it depends on who you listen to. But even in a good economy, we still worry about stuff. Am I going to run out? Is my 401k going to go well? Is my retirement okay? I worry about my stuff. He said, so you're going to worry about finances. But he said, then there's a second thing we worry about. We worry about fashion. And you know, as I research, folks, I found out that teenagers are more stressed over fashion than those that are older. Teenagers are literally stressed out over peer pressure and fashion. Looking the right part. Fashion. Fashion. And Jesus addressed it. He said, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on it. What you shall put on it. A young lady was serving in Iraq, and she called her mom and said, Mom, can you get my makeup over here as quickly as possible? They have no idea over here what I really look like. Fashion. Fashion. I read this week, and this shocked me, that the average woman disposes of 65 pounds of clothing every year. 65 pounds of clothing. I'm getting rid of that. Average woman has 30 outfits in her closet. I'm getting rid of that. And when I read that, I said, that's hard for me to believe. Because I know most people in human natures, I'm not going to dispose of that. I'm going to lose weight and be able to wear that again. Amen? So we're into finances and we're into fashion. But then we're into fitness. We're into fitness. We've got to stay fit. And if we're not into staying fit, we're worried about our health. We're just worried about our health. We're just constantly wanting to stay fit. Kind of like the guy that got braces put on his false teeth. He wanted to stay fit. But Jesus addressed it. Look what Jesus said. He said, which of you by taking thought can add one cubit to his stature? So we worry about our fitness. Worry about being fit. Number four, we worry about family. We worry about family. We worry about our children. We worry about the world that they're growing up in. We worry about what's going to happen. We worry about our family. And then the fifth thing that we worry about, future. Jesus addressed it. He said, take no thought for the morrow. For the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. So what's going to happen? Are we going to get involved in a nuclear war? Man, you watch some of this news and you just feel like you need to go get in a bunker, amen? But what's going to happen in the future? What's going to happen to my retirement? What's going to happen if I die? What's going to happen if my wife dies? What's going to happen? I'm so concerned about the future. What's going to happen futuristic? And here's what's so interesting. Jesus addressed everything, ladies and gentlemen. He addressed everything that we're going to worry about. And then he gives us a plan for overcoming anxiety. And by the way, am I really giving a good testimony, folks? Am I really giving a good testimony if I'm anxiety-driven and I'm supposed to know the Prince of Peace? I mean, think about it. Isaiah 9:6 says, His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And I researched that Prince of Peace. It actually means tranquilizer. What kind of testimony am I giving, folks, if I'm just always stressed out, always anxiety-driven, always worrying? And by the way, let me say this. Worry is sin. See, there's things that we know that are known sin that you wouldn't think about doing, but you somehow think, oh, worry's okay. No. God said, that's not of faith is sin. So worry's sin, ladies and gentlemen. Worry's not pleasing to God. So how, Pastor, how can I deal with this anxiety? How can I deal with these worries? Well, let me give you 5 steps, and they're all right out of the Word of God. Number one, you refuse to worry about anything. I want you to understand something. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6, verses 25, verses 31, and verse 34, Jesus said, don't worry. Don't worry. Now, here's what I want you to get this. God would not tell you to do something if you couldn't do it. God would not tell you to do something if it was impossible. He's not that kind of God. He's not going to tell you to do something if it's impossible for you to do it. So we go back to the verse, refuse to worry about anything. Look what he says. Don't worry about anything. Now, your greatest concern, here's what I want you to do. You put it right there. Don't worry about, I don't care what it is. God said we're not supposed to worry about it. God said, don't you worry about it. Don't you worry about it. Now, here's what's interesting. We worry, I'm convinced, because of 3 things. Number one, we worry about decisions. We worry, we say, Pastor, I've got some important decisions that I've got to make. But you know what's interesting? God gives us a plan. You say, I'm kind of stressed over making a decision or not making a decision. And by the way, folks, when you're in a situation where you need to make a decision, the worst place you can be is no decision, because as long as you stay in no decision, nothing changes. And many times you have to get this down, because this is not the message, but it's maybe a word from God. Many times you have to make a decision to find the right decision. I don't have time to elaborate on that, but look here. When you're dealing with decisions, God gives us a plan. He said, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't depend on your own understanding. Seek His will in all you do. Now look, and He'll show you which path to take. You know what He said? He said, you come to me, you totally give it to me. Not what you want, but what I want, and then I'll make it crystal clear. Somebody said, give me the 14 steps for finding the will of God. There are not 14 steps for finding the will of God. There's primarily one. When you surrender your will and you want what He wants more than what you want, you will be in the will of God. So we have stress over decisions, but let me tell you something else. We have stress over provision. Provision. And the reason why we have stress over provision, we doubt God's power. We doubt God's power. And Jeremiah 10 and 12 tells us that He made the earth by His power. I've said a million times, He didn't begin when the beginning began. He began the beginning. He didn't start with start. He started start. He made everything by his power. Folks, we have a great God. But we doubt God's power. And then there's a second thing. We doubt that we matter to God. We doubt that we matter to God. We say, well, listen, there's 7 billion people in this world. And I really don't matter. I'm not some special person. I don't matter to God. Few people even know who I am. I don't matter. But let me give you a verse. Behold the fowls of the air. For they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Get this down, folks. Jesus didn't create birds in his image. Jesus didn't give birds dominion over the earth. Jesus didn't go to the cross and die for birds. But he made you in his image. And he went to the cross and died for your sins. Let me tell you something, folks. If he's going to take care of the birds, he's going to take care of you. If he's going to feed the birds, he's going to take care of you. Because, see, you're so much more important than the birds. And what you need to realize is God would bankrupt heaven if it took that to meet your needs. You need to realize that where God guides, he provides. And where God leads, he succeeds. And God's never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. And he's going to supply all your need. And no good thing will he withhold from them that walk up rightly, that we have a good God. But see, we're stressed because of decisions. We're stressed because of provision. But let me tell you something else. We're stressed because of lack of vision. You know, Jesus took them through all these things. He said, some of you are worried about fashion, and some of you are worried about finances, and some of you are worried about the future. He said, let me tell you how to handle it right here. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Look, you know, I looked up worry. It means to divide. It the connotation is like taffy candy being pulled apart. It means to be torn apart. And what worry does, it pulls you apart. It divides you. So how do you handle it? You get single focused, and you focus on God and seeking what God wants. And he said, you'll wake up and everything else would take care of itself if you focus on me. What'd God say? Don't you worry about anything. You said to Pastor, how do we not worry about anything? Well, he tells us, number two, talk to God about everything. You talk to God about everything. See, when something happens that's stressful in your life, you talk to God about it. What do? When you find out something stressful, your first inclination ought to be, I want to go to God. Your first inclination ought to be, I want to go to God. I'm not going to go to the phone. I'm going to go to the throne. I'm going to go to God. I'm going to talk to him about this. There's a third thing he tells us to do. You thank God in all things. You thank God in all things. Folks, I've studied the Bible, but God showed me something even this week that I'd never seen before. When I read Philippians 4:6, it says, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by supplication and thanksgiving. Here's what's interesting. I always thought, well, what that actually means is when we're praying, we think of the things that we ought to be thankful for. But I'm not totally convinced, because let me show you something. Look what Jesus did when he prayed. It says, then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, look at this, folks. Father, I thank thee that thou's heard me. When Jesus went to pray, he started simply just by saying, Lord, thank you that you're hearing me right now. What I'm saying, folks, when you've got a stressful situation, you take it to God, but I want you to get this. When you take it to him, you say to him, thank you, Lord, that you're hearing me right now. Thank you, Lord, that you're hearing me right now. And when you start telling him, thank you, Lord, that you're hearing me concerning this situation, it will build faith and it will build confidence in your heart. When you just thank him, Lord, Lord, I know I've got this situation, but I'm bringing it to you. And I just thank you, God, that you're hearing me right now. See, folks, when you pray, Psalms 116, get this down. This make a backslid Baptist shout. Look what this says. He says, I love the Lord. And by the way, folks, I unapologetically love Jesus. Amen? Yes, I'm a nut for Jesus. I'm a nut for Jesus. You say, you're a nut. That's okay. I'm screwed on the right boat. Amen? I'm excited about Jesus. I love the Lord because he's heard my voice. Get this. He inclined his ear unto me. What does that mean? It means this. Lord, I've got this situation and it's heavy on my heart. But God, I want to thank you first and foremost that you're hearing me. I want to thank you, Lord, that you're listening and you're hearing. What happens when that takes place? We'll look at the verse. This is what happens. Oh, you didn't see it. You folks, you're asleep, folks. No, what happened? This one. He just leaned on in. Said, bring it on. Bring it on. Bring it on. I want to hear from you. Bring it on. There's a fourth thing, folks. Five steps to handling this anxiety. That is, think about good things. You know, he tells us in verse 8, he says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. He said, now, what he's trying to say to us, what you think about is so important. Job said this in Job 3:25. He said, the thing that I greatly feared has come upon me. The thing I feared. See, he was expecting bad things, and it happened. Well, folks, shouldn't we as children of God be expecting good things? Shouldn't we as children of the Most High God be expectors of good things? Well, see, folks, Psalms 5:3 says this. My voice shalt thou hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee. And I'm going to look up. I'm going to expect good things. Because you're a good God. We ought to be like the man that was 90 years old. And bought a house in a good school district after he got married. Amen? We ought to be expecting good things. See, there's a verse in 1 Kings 18. I don't know if you've ever noticed it. There'd been a 3.5-year drought. No rain. It was dry. A man went out and caught a catfish, and there was 2 ticks on it. I mean, it was dry. And Elijah said to Ahab, get something to eat and drink. Wait, get this down, folks. For I hear a mighty rainstorm coming. The King James Version says, I hear the sound of an abundance of rain. Now, wait. And then he climbed to Carmel. And by the way, when we go to Israel, we're going to Carmel. And he prayed. But wait. Before he prayed, he said, I hear the sound of an abundance of rain. Before he prayed, he said, I'm expecting good things. Folks, we're children of the Most High God. We shouldn't go around expecting bad things. We ought to go around expecting good things because we're children of God. Once a year, Savannah Abigail and I'll go to a baseball stadium. It's a daddy-daughter thing. It's a daddy-daughter thing. We've been doing it now for several years. We go to one stadium and just be together for a day or two. And this week we went. We went to Washington, D.C. I did a little preaching. I don't know of a place anymore that they need preaching any more than Washington, D.C. Amen? Politics. Poly means many. Ticks means blood-sucking insects. They need it. We go to the ball game. And I said, let's get us one of them hot dogs. And Savannah says, Dad, I don't have any money. I said, Savannah, did you bring any money? She said, no. And the reason why she didn't, she was depending on sugar daddy. Well, think about it, folks. Do you realize what Matthew 7 and 11 says? It says, if ye then being evil, it says, as a daddy, I'm evil. As a daddy, I'm evil. If ye being evil know how to buy a hot dog for that girl, how much more shall your Father in heaven give good things to them that ask him? We ought to be expecting good things. A lady walked up and said, my goodness, sir, you look like my third husband. He said, my goodness, how many times you been married? She said, twice. We ought to expect good things. Good things. We serve a good God. Amen. Oh, somebody said the good old days in the church. I'm not going to talk about the good old days. I believe the great days for the Lord are out ahead of us. We ought to believe him for good things. Now, let me give you the last point. Be content with anything. You say, what are you talking about? Well, John Wooden said, things work out best for those who make the best of how things work out. Things work out best for those who make the best of how things work out. Now, what I'm talking about is contentment. I'm trying to get done. Philippians 4 and 11. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith be content. Many people don't enjoy life because you've got destination disease. And what I mean by destination disease, you're going to be happy at a certain point. You're going to be happy when you get this job. I'm single, and I'll be happy when I get married. No. If you're unhappy single, you're probably just going to make somebody else unhappy once you get married. Listen. What is contentment? Contentment is enjoying what I have right now. Not waiting for something to happen in order to make me happy. Quit comparing. Quit comparing. If you don't remember anything I say, get this. Comparison is the death to your joy. Comparison is the death to your joy. You just be you. You say, well, she's that size. It don't matter what size she is. You be you. Well, they've got that house. It don't matter what house they've got. You be you. You be you. You're special just like you are. You're special. You say, Pastor, how can I do these things? How can I do these things? I want to do these five things. How can I do them? I can't do them on my own, Pastor. How can I do them? Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Now, when I started up, I got saved, folks. I got saved. I started trying to memorize Scripture. You say, Pastor Benny, how do you memorize Scripture? I write Scriptures down and I carry them with me. If I'm on a treadmill, I pop them down there. I just constantly going over scriptures. And by the way, let me say something. Let me say something to you. Young people, it's easier when you're young. Amen. It's easier when you're young. The memory's just not what it used to be. I told Barbara, I said, Barbara, as we're getting older, if you'll remember who we are, I'll remember where we're going. Yes, I mean, as you get older. But one of the first scriptures that I ever memorized was 2 Corinthians 5 and 17. It says, therefore, if any man be in Christ. Get that down, folks. In Christ. You know, growing up, I went back here and I baptized and I looked out the window. And I saw all those cars. And I said, it's hard for me to believe that this many people would be here. I never was in the in crowd. When I was growing up, Mom ran taverns. So when your mom runs taverns, every group of parents doesn't necessarily want their children to play with you. And I wanted to play sports, but I wasn't big enough to play sports. Barbara and I got married 35 years ago, and I weighed 130 pounds. I was never big enough to do much with sports. I was interested in girls, but I was really too shy to approach them. I'm glad I did approach Barbara. But I never was in the in crowd. I started pastoring, and I didn't go to the denominational school, so I wasn't the one that was supposed to build the largest church. Used to load our kids up, and I'd go to the state camp. Kids would come in at night, and I'd say, did y'all have fun? They'd say, no, we didn't have fun. I'd say, why didn't you have fun? Well, they made fun of you tonight. Christian camp, yeah, they got up and mimicked how you talked. They mimicked how you pronounced words, Brother Benny, and we just left. I never was in the in crowd. But one day I was studying there at the house, and I thought about this, therefore, if any man be in Christ, and I realized that little word, in, is the prefix of a lot of other words. I started thinking about, you know, the devil may bring up our past, but because of the blood, it's inadmissible. And we have a Father that's included us in His love. And we are indwelt by the Holy Spirit. And we have a promise that's indisputable, that He'll never leave us nor forsake us. And we have a name that's inerasable in the Lamb's Book of Life. And we have a book that is inspired. And we have a body one day that is incorruptible. And we're going to receive a crown that's immovable. And we have riches that are invested. And we have a promise that's inevitable, that our God shall supply all of our need according to His riches and glory. And we have a home that's indescribable. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, ladies and gentlemen, it was a great day when I realized I am in the in crowd, and you are too. Oh, folks, while we do this, why don't we stand our feet and just give Him praise? Why don't we just praise Him? Why don't we lift up our voice with a voice of triumph? Why don't we clap our hands and praise Him? Jesus, we love you. Oh, Jesus, we love you. Holy Spirit, thou art welcome here. Come flood this place with your atmosphere. You're welcome, Lord. It's your service. It's not ours. Meet the needs of your people. And for all you do, we're going to praise you.
Friend, I trust the message today has spoken to your heart. And if you've never accepted Christ as your personal Savior, I want to challenge you to do that today. It's the greatest decision you'll ever make. And I've often said, it's as simple as ABC. A stands for acknowledge. You've got to acknowledge that you're a sinner. B stands for believe. You've got to believe that Christ and His blood was shed on the cross for your sin. And then C, you simply must confess your sins to Him. I want to encourage you right now to repeat a simple prayer with me. I'll pray the prayer. You repeat it with me if you'd like to accept Christ as your personal Savior. Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. But God, I'm sorry for my sin. I'm so sorry, I want to change. I believe that you died for my sin, and I confess my sin to you right now. Come into my heart, Lord, and forgive me of all my sin. Now thank you, Lord, for forgiving me. Thank you for coming in to my life. Amen. Friend, congratulations on the greatest decision that you'll ever make. And I want you to know, this decision is not based on how you feel right now, because God's not a feeling. He's a fact. This decision is based on the fact that you have done what God's Word says you must do to have eternal life. So congratulations on the greatest decision you'll ever make, and thank you for being with us today. God bless you, and we'll see you soon.